All good there with sound and everything, Mark? Great. Can you flick this on for me, please? Okay. So I want to read a passage. The passage is Luke chapter 15. This is the message for today that God's laid on my heart along the theme of our mission statement as a church. And you'll remember what that is. It's following Jesus, caring for each other, impacting the world. And so today we're looking at impacting the world and what that might mean for each one of us. And I want to read this passage out of Luke chapter 15, let's read it together. Actually, why don't I read the first screen, you read the second screen. How about that? And this is what Luke records, a story of what happened when Jesus was interacting with people. Verse 1 of Luke 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. They were listening to Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." How about you read? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. I want you to think about the situation Jesus is in that led him to tell these two stories, these two parables. And who were there? Who are there in that situation? The sinners, one translation says, that the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the outcasts, another translation says, they were there in that group. Who else was there? The disciples were there. They were Jesus' companions. They were with him wherever he went. Who else was there? The religious leaders were there. They were often following Jesus around too, to find fault with what he was saying. And they were listening, and they were critical of the situation Jesus found himself in. Here he is, eating with publicans and sinners. Publicans and tax collectors and sinners. So who was he actually telling the parable to? Any guesses? Who was he telling the parable to? Sorry?
Everybody.
He was telling the parable to everybody. He might have been addressing the particular issue that the Pharisees had, but he was telling it to everybody in the room or everybody in the place so they all might hear what these two stories were about. We have a mission statement in our church. It says, following Jesus, caring for each other, impacting the world. And this year, I've chosen a theme, Disciple More in 24, and it's about making disciples. And loved Bob's story this morning. I've heard that one before, and it challenges us not to be simply a clubhouse, but to be a rescue station. And that's really what it's about, making disciples, seeing people come to follow Christ. This year in Queensland Baptist circles throughout the state, there is this theme of intentional discipleship. So the encouragement, the resources that are going to be provided are to help us, first of all, be disciples and followers of Jesus, and then to look to make disciples and followers of Jesus. What's our involvement going to be? What choice will we make? Are we doing this already? These are some of the questions that I had as I was looking at this passage. What's our response? What does this passage say to us about making disciples? I think it's very important. The first part of the passage, I'm catching up on my PowerPoint, sorry about that, is verses 1 and 2, and we read that earlier. Jesus was amongst the tax collectors and sinners, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they questioned him, they challenged him. This is the first of three parables that Jesus tells this time. We're only going to look at two. And the Pharisees, they were supposed to be shepherds of the people. They were supposed to be the ones that were the spiritual carers of the people of Israel. But they messed up terribly. Instead of being the spiritual leaders, they became the religious lawmakers. And sometimes Jesus criticized them because they didn't even follow their own rules. And so Jesus spoke these parables both to the tax collectors and sinners who needed to hear about the shepherd that went looking for the one. But he also spoke this parable or these parables to the Pharisees so that he might address their lack of being good shepherds, that he might challenge them about being good shepherds. All right, how many sheep did he leave behind? 99. So how many was in the flock? 100. Originally 100 in the flock. And I looked, did some research, and that was the average size of a flock of sheep around Jesus' time. One shepherd to roughly 100 sheep, sometimes a little bit less. And it was a pretty bold move by the shepherd to leave the 99 behind and go and look for one. What we don't actually see in the text, but is well understood, is that there are usually a number of flocks of sheep in the same area. So it wouldn't have been hard for him to leave those 99 with one of the other shepherds as well, just to keep a watch over them, so that that part of the flock wouldn't have been in danger while he went to look for the one that was lost. What's that picture conjure up in your mind about Jesus carrying the lost sheep across his shoulders? What does that do for you? To me, it says that he was a shepherd that cared so much. And we don't know what condition the sheep was in. It could have been wandering in the wrong direction. It could have been down a gully. It could have been on a cliff. It could be in a thicket or something like that. But because the shepherd was so happy to find the sheep, he put that sheep over his shoulders. Anybody carried a sheep over their shoulders lately? No? Anybody ever carried a sheep over their shoulders?
No.
Yeah. How heavy are they, Hamish? Yeah? 20 to 40 kg? So for a shepherd, that could be a regular occurrence, especially if the sheep was lame or ill and they had to move the flock on to another place. They would have put them over their shoulders and carried them. But to me, it shows the story that Jesus was telling was one of a shepherd who considered the one important. The 99, yes, they're important. But the one that was lost, he considered that one important. Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, the religious leaders. And they would have known this verse Psalm 28, verse 9. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. The religious leaders would have known that verse. They would have known it off by heart. But were they doing it? No, they were making the rules and saying, you follow these rules and I'll shuffle you along. We rarely, if ever, hear of any Pharisees or Sadducees carrying a sheep or any of them going the extra mile for the people that they were supposed to care for. But Jesus knew the scriptures as well. And his story reflects some of what Isaiah wrote as the prophet said this. He tends his flock like a shepherd. Speaking of God, he gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. So Jesus' story reinforced the scriptures that they already knew. So underlying it, he could have easily been said, come on you guys, get your act together. You're supposed to be doing this. You are supposed to be the shepherds, but you're not. There's a moral to the story. The moral to the story was the rejoicing that happened when he got home with the sheep. I tell you that in the same way there will be rejoicing, more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. He was actually pointing the finger at the righteous people in the room, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, saying, repent and do what God wants you to do. I wonder, in considering those two stories, the lost sheep and the lost coin, and if you know that passage, it goes on to talk about the lost son, or what we might call the prodigal son, I wonder how that relates to how you and I impact the world, in our church, in our personal life. And I ask you the question today, who is your one? Who is the one that you would leave others behind for because you are so focused on that one? Saving them, seeing them come to believe in Jesus. Now, why do we say that we're a church that wants to impact the world? Because that's what Jesus told us to do, isn't it? The verse that Bob read this morning out of Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Go and make disciples, teaching them about Christ, baptizing them, and that God would be with us. And so God wants us to impact the world. That's his plan for us as his individuals, as his church. And God has the desire that none should perish. Do you know this verse in Peter? 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. But do not forget this one thing, Peter writes to those that were receiving his letter. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So are you seeing God's heart here? Are you seeing God's heart not just in those words, but in the picture of the shepherd looking for the lost one sheep? Are you seeing God's heart? Now, we might have been encouraged, and I'm sure I've encouraged from the pulpit here, to pray for our neighbours, pray for our street, pray for our town, pray for our nation, and pray for the world. And we sincerely do that, I'm sure. But I wonder if we agree that it's God's command to pray. Have you ever thought, though, that it's too big to really understand? That the scope is too big? Have you ever thought the world is too big to understand? And so I think this passage helps us to understand that the ones are important. And certainly the street is, the town is, the world is. But sometimes in our heads we think, it's too hard, the world is too hard. For me to have an impact on the world is too hard. So I think Jesus spoke these parables to remind us that the one is important. The one is important. How can insignificant me reach the whole world? I know, I'll send missionaries to do the job for me. Sometimes that's what people think. You know, I can't go to another country, but I'll support the missionaries that go there. And they'll have some impact in that country. I can't really care pastorally for people, so I employ a pastor to do that for us. And I think sometimes we hear God's directions and we say, yes, I want to obey them, but we think that the picture is too big, impacting the world. I wonder if we should change the scope based on Luke chapter 15. I wonder if we should refocus from the world, from the world, to impacting my world. And thinking about the ones that we might have an impact on in our lives. Let's have a think about this for the moment. Impacting my world to the one. Matthew 28, verse 16 to 20. Bob read part of that passage before. Verse 16 says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven or on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Impacting my world. Impacting my world. All right? Is there a person in your life? How do we do that? How do we look for the ones in our life? Is there a person in your life that you would love to see choose to be a follower of Jesus? Is there one person? It could be a family member. It could be a neighbour. It could be somebody in your street. Is there one person, and to help you think about this one person, that you might set aside 99 others for, as it were, and just focus on the one? Is there one person in your life that you grieve over because they don't know Jesus like you do? They don't know the hope that you have in Jesus. They don't know the joy of walking with Jesus every day. They don't know the God that answers prayer. Is there one person in your life that you grieve over because they don't know Jesus? There may be more than one, mind you. But for today, consider how Jesus gave to the disciples that direction in Matthew 28. And remember the parable he said. The shepherd left the 99 to go after the one. And what was the result? There was rejoicing in heaven at one sinner that had been saved. I wonder, is it your family member that's the one? Is it your co-worker or a community club member that's the one? I'm not talking about a target for evangelism, because that word evangelism comes across as you have to get them to make a decision to follow Jesus. No, no. I'm talking about someone who you can have a sincere friendship with or relationship with if it's a family member, so that you can really care for that person and trust them to God. Is there one person like that in your life? Jason Elmsmore, we saw a video of him a few weeks ago. He's the director of the Queensland Baptist Movement. He wrote a book called Jesus the Bloke. And in that book, he wrote it for men and tried to portray, and he did fairly well, that Jesus was a real man. And maybe a little bit too blokey in some parts, but it was okay. And with every book, if you purchased that book, you got a little business card, and it had a 1 cent piece taped to it. And at the top of the business card, it said, "Remember the one. Remember the one." And the challenge was, give that book to the one person that God puts on your heart, that they might read it, understand it, and receive Jesus. So for us, do we have that one? It could be a person at a distance. How do we maintain that relationship with them? How do we keep in touch with them? Do we look for opportunities just to be real, be genuine as followers of Jesus, without hitting them over the head with the Bible, without doing the four spiritual laws or anything like that, but just looking for those opportunities where they might ask us questions? Cheryl and I bought a new camera recently, and it's a great camera. It's got a 1,235mm telephoto zoom lens on it. So I love standing out the front of my house and zooming in on the neighbour's trees at the end of the street. And on one tree, it's full of, I think it's magnolia tree. I'm not really good with plants, but it's got lots of white flowers on it, you know. And so at half zoom, I can actually fill the picture frame with the tree. At full zoom, I can zoom onto one flower. And I'm having so much fun doing that. It looks pretty from a distance, but when you get up close, you can see the intricate nature of every individual flower. Guess who's going to join the photography club, guys? Okay. And the thing that I look at that is, sometimes the big tree with all the flowers in it take your attention first. But as you look at that one individual flower, you get to appreciate how wonderful the big tree is. Do you know what I mean? So Jesus, in telling this parable about the one, he wasn't denying the 99. He wasn't forgetting about them. They were precious to him as well. But he put the effort in. The shepherd put the effort in to go after the one that was lost, that he might come and be a part of the whole flock. And I just pray that we will ask God about who that one is in our lives, who that one is, so that there might be rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. Take a moment right now, if you like, to think about who that one might be, that you, if you were serious about it, would grieve over the fact that they don't yet know Jesus, or that they are not walking with Jesus, or they don't understand the Jesus that you know from the Scriptures. Think about that one right now. And I pray that in these coming days, Jesus will give you some clear direction on how you should contact that person, or how you should be that person's friend, or how you should be a closer family member to that person. And then you'll be ready to answer any questions that they might have for you about what it means for you to be a person of faith or to be somebody who follows Jesus. The one is important. Who is your one today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for these stories that Jesus told. And everybody in the room would know the picture that he was painting, whether it be the shepherd or the woman that lost the coin. And they would know how important that one sheep or that one coin was to those people. And they would know that the God, our God Almighty, the God of grace, cares about the ones of this world. Every individual person Christ died for. So, Father, help us to change the scope of the world if we need to in our eyes. Certainly help us to pray for the world in this wider context. Help us to pray for those that are going to places that we can't go. But, Father, in our own situation, show us who that one is, that one person that we would love to see come to know you. Excite us, Father, when you give us opportunities to spend time with that one. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to talk to me further about that concept, please grab me after the service. I'd love to encourage you. Thanks, Bob and the team.